Are we recording? Yes, we
are. I think
are.
We are.
It's hot outside.
Yeah, the very sun's hot. We have just gotten back from just visiting relatives.
Yes, and it's rather warm. So what better thing to do than to sit in the house and do a podcast?
Great idea.
So after last time out doing Super Metroid,
we figured we'd kind of continue the SNES kind of theme we've got going. That is likely to end soon.
Okay.
We have another episode plan that isn't.
But what are we doing this time around anyway?
We are doing a game that kind of maybe popularized the fighting game genre, Street Fighter 2!
Specifically?
Street Fighter 2 Turbo!
On the Super Nintendo.
Yay!
Which you had a go at the other day, didn't you?
Yeah.
We cracked out the SNES Mini.
Yeah.
And we decided that we'd let you have a little go of.
Yeah, I like how you have to decide for these things.
Yep.
Sorry, just funny there.
I just want to think about something.
Okay, so Street Fighter 2 is a 1v1 fighting game published by Capcom in 1981 for arcades, and then it's then proceeded to be ported to every system known to man, and it's like 20 different versions of it.
There was a lot of different versions of Street Fighter. Not so specifically Turbo, I think. The first one was just Street Fighter 2 World Warrior, and that originally came out on the Super Nintendo with 8 characters to choose from, and then they seemed to port that to every single one under the sun.
Yeah.
I was saying the other day, I'm pretty sure there's like a Spectrum version.
Yeah, I think I remember seeing this when I was researching stuff about this game. I remember seeing like, oh, systems, MS-DOS, everything, ZX Spectrum.
Yeah, because it was the first time that, arcade-wise, it was the first time that it wasn't just a score attack thing.
Yeah.
You could legitimately have direct competition with the person
beside
you.
Most arcade games at the time were just like, oh, score-based, you get this score, you're on a leaderboard, someone takes you over, well, you do better next time.
Yeah, it was like you were on your own and trying to get high scores. But Street Fighter kind of popularised the fighting genre as a whole.
Well, Street Fighter 2 specifically.
Street Fighter 2 specifically, yes.
Because there was a sequel, as the name suggests, is a sequel to the first game, obviously. I mean, nobody starts a series by just putting 2 in it.
No, not good.
There'll be like 2 examples that have can't think of. And the first Street Fighter wasn't that great.
Not that great. No, I have it on the Switch as part of the 30th anniversary collection. I've played it for about 2 minutes, the original Street Fighter, and then you start to realise, no, it's not great. I think the arcade version had the novelty of having the sort of pressure sensitive buttons, though. That if you tapped them, it was a weak punch. If you hammered them, it was a proper full-on whack.
That sounds quite innovative.
But it's kind of, it was back in its day, but it never really worked out, because apparently arcade owners were always complaining the fact that people were just hammering the buttons and breaking them.
Yeah.
So that's why, as a result of humans, we can't have nice things.
This is why you can't have nice things, kids, because you keep breaking the buttons on the Street Fighter 2.
Because the Street Fighter cabinet is in a heap. So in order to get round that,
just in like this wreck kind of thing.
They had the 6 button layout.
Well, I think, the original, sorry, I'm going back, but I think its main issue, wasn't it, like, combos were considered a glitch?
Oh, infamously, combos were considered a glitch in the original Street Fighter.
You can get multiple hits on your opponent and they can do nothing about it.
It was seen as unfair. It was seen as unfair that you could land one hit and then your opponent wouldn't be able to respond by the time you had the second or the third or the fourth or any more than that.
Yeah. This kind of means that basically the original Street Fighter boiled down to weirdly a turn-based strategy game.
Tippy-tap kind of like things. Which I think they politely term now in the fighting game community is footsies. And that's what they term that as sort of like get aimed, attack, get out again. But yeah, it's the combo system, which is kind of integral to Street Fighter and every single fighting game.
Yeah, because you can't really have a fighting game without a combo system.
Not really, it's seen as part of the art, I think. But anyway.
So moving on,
Street Fighter 2
it has 12 fighters.
Characters. The original 8 from the Street Fighter 2 World Warrior.
And the 4 bosses.
And the 4 bosses are now controllable. So there's a couple of.
And,
you've got Ryu and Ken.
Mm-hmm.
They're obviously kind of like. Originally started as palette swaps of each other.
Yeah.
And the whole story goes that they train together, but as the games have gone on, they've kind of diverged into their own kind of storylines and are much better as sort of individual characters now.
Yeah.
Guile, American Forces. Yeah. Dude with impossible hair. Chun-Li with impossible thighs. E Honda, who can still jump a fair bit despite being a massive sumo guy.
Impossible.
Yeah. There's Blanca, who is electric, is some sort of jungle wild man.
Yeah.
Dalsim, Indian yoga master. Zangief, Russian bear wrestler, and that's all the eights, isn't it?
What's that? You have a mug with all eight of the original eight
on. I do have a mug with all the original ones on.
Yeah, so and she just bought that mug.
Yeah, and there's the four bosses of Balrog, Boxer, because we're in the West, and Vega, Spanish bullfighter and mask claw dude, Bison, dictator boss of Shadowloo, and Sagat.
Yeah,
I still think it's one of the best characters in the game, Sagat.
Yeah, doesn't he have a scar down his...
He does, he has a scar down his chest and up his face, because the story goes at the end of the first Street Fighter, that's where Ryu Dragon punches him, and it burns all the way up him.
Jesus.
So that's why Sagat's kind of doesn't like Rubble, but...
doesn't like our cat!
Doesn't like Ryu as much.
I'm going to keep Ryu. That in.
That's our cat. It.
Yeah. Can you just imagine just Sagat?
As far as I know, Sagat has no qualms against our cat.
Just imagine Sagat just looking at a picture of Rubble and going...
I originally played Turbo. I think I never really heard of Street Fighter until it appeared in Total Magazine, the original one. And then it was on Games Master one episode. And then I remember being so taken by it, but not having any access to it. I seem to remember setting up my G.I. Joe action figures and having like Street Fighter matches with them.
You never told me this.
Did I never tell you this? Yeah, I had little kind of like G.I. Joe figures that were like posable. I had like different weapons and all this kind of stuff. So like, I'll ditch the weapons, I'll give everyone their own fighting style, special moves and all this kind of stuff. So I made a little kind of Street Fighter game. The irony being that a few years after that, G.I. Joe released Street Fighter figures in the same kind of style.
Wow.
Because I'm not claiming sort of like, you know, ownership of that idea, but I was doing it years before. I didn't have any access to the actual game.
That's quite interesting. You never told me that.
Oh, there you go. I saved some things in the podcast.
Yay!
Yeah. But then my mate bought Turbo him when it came out about a year and a bit later. And he was like proper enthralled by it and used to go to his house and look about doing matches all the time. It was amazing. I love Street Fighter. I'm not good at it.
Yeah.
But I love playing it.
It's like that. It's like those games that you really like but you are not good at.
Yeah.
For me, it's Mega Man games.
Oh, that's right. You're good at Mega Man. Another Capcom stable. But yeah, you got some facts about Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
Yeah. Well, continuing on with our characters kind of thing. Each character has their own unique moveset and kind of playstyle.
Yes.
Like Guile's a bit more defensive.
Guile's defensive because most of his moves you need to charge. Mm-hmm. So you need to hold either down or back or somehow away from your opponent for a couple of seconds.
Yeah.
And then press forward and attack. He can't sort of conjure up stuff instantaneously. But it's so Sonic Booms are like back for 2 seconds and forwards and punch. Jackknife Kicks are down for 2 seconds and up and kick. I think I remember rightly he's got his kind of like his backbreaker thing he does. He can pluck people out of midair and then just backbreaker them on the way down.
Wow.
I can't remember that appearing at some stage. I don't know if it's Turbo or not, or maybe it's Super Street Fighter later on, but he's definitely got an anti-air move where he leaps up and meets people and throws them. I always quite like Guile as a sort of design, but I was never really good at actually playing as him. I usually end up going like vanilla Ryu.
Yeah.
And then just chucking fireballs.
Well, when we played it, you would go with everyone.
I was trying out everyone as much as I can, because I could remember sort of playing different people to a certain level. There's ways of like, you know, cheesing victories with just doing 100 hand slaps with the Honda, or like electricity with Blanca, doing that way. But I wasn't trying to do that.
I'm alright at fighting games, but I just most of the time forget what the buttons do and how to do kind of moves like that. Like it does take me a while to do the Hadouken with Ryu. Okay.
Just practice, and that's what it is with most fighting games. It's just like practice. It's just being able to do moves and then calling them up.
I think it doesn't help that there's no kind of in between bit in the D-pad for the moves. Like, you know, like
there's no diagonal. It's pressing the two at once to get the diagonal.
Yeah, I didn't know the snares could actually handle two. I honestly didn't know.
Yeah, you can do that. But yeah, so it was one of the games that I played a lot at school with my mates. There was that. I'd like to always kind of do that thing of like I was a really sort of refined kid and I liked playing Street Fighter all the time. That was my favourite fighting game. But it probably got overtaken by Mortal Kombat 2 specifically because, you know, that had fatalities and blood in it and that was great.
Street Fighter doesn't have blood. This is the best thing ever.
Street Fighter has occasional blood. There's like a couple of frames of like maybe someone's nose
busting. Or
yeah, and isn't it like in the victory kind of?
Yeah, things like that. If you smack someone hard enough, they will puke in the guts and all this kind of stuff. So there's bits of it, but it doesn't appear very often.
Why the ESRB was made.
Well, that was Mortal Kombat and Night Trap mainly. So yeah, but it was, as I say, I used to love meeting mates at the weekends. There wasn't really a big arcade culture in Britain, so we kind of tended just to go around each other's houses and play home conversions. I was quite good with...
Yeah.
I got good with Ryu, and I was able to time fireballs. It just, if I smacked you with one fireball, I kind of nailed the timing so that a slower fireball would hit you when you got up if you didn't block in time.
Nice.
Which was particularly annoying for anyone who was playing against me. That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a cracking game.
Mm.
Music's amazing. Usual Capcom stuff. Capcom music was always good in the 16-bit era. Mm. So, you know, later 8-bit. Graphically, it's fantastic.
Yeah, it still holds up.
It does still hold up. It's one of those SNES games don't tend to age in style.
The original Star Fox.
Well, yeah, but that was because it had to be that way. It's kind of a functionary thing that is,
yeah. You
know, it's polygonal because it has to be to chuck that much 3D stuff around all the place. But for an art styles, most 16-bit games haven't really aged badly, and that's Street Fighter's no exception. And I think it's telling that the series kind of carries on even now.
Yeah, like with 5 and...
Yeah, with 5. It has a long break in between, but...
Yeah, because the weird thing with Capcom games is they, like, I'm sure it's like the Capcom curse or something. They make one game in the first of the series, and this happens with multiple things. And the first one's alright, not bad. Like, the original Mega Man wasn't that great. The first Street Fighter was not that great. And more than the first Resident Evil. Was that...
First Resident Evil was really good.
Okay, so... But it wasn't as good as 2.
But I don't think... I think there's a wider scope for ideas they wanted to do in Resident Evil. And so they ended up putting a lot of those in Resident Evil 2.
Yeah, so but the second one is always the good one. The
second one's always a vast improvement over the first one, I think it's fair to say. For
Street Fighter 2, definitely. Mega Man 2, definitely. And
Resident Evil, I'd say, yeah.
Yeah.
Although Resident Evil 1 still is a brilliant game, but Resident Evil 2 is way better.
And then they somehow, after a while, they kind of, not destroy the series, but kind of just beat it down and kind of just run out of stuff to do.
It has to kind of reinvent itself.
Yeah,
and
hence why.
Street Fighter is no different. Street Fighter's gone through a lot of iterations.
Yeah, because didn't it got really technical in the later entries?
Yeah, well, when they released Turbo was massively successful for the second one,
mm-hmm.
and then Street Fighter 2 seemed to stick around for ages under different versions.
Yeah.
Because we had the Super...
Didn't they release one on, Switch a while ago, a new one on the Switch? Ultra.
Yeah, when Switch, it was a launch title, I think. Switch was like Ultra.
And it was like 40 quid.
It's like Street Fighter 2 Turbo, but done, redone art style.
Yeah. And with more characters and colors.
Yeah, it's a bit redundant now that 30th anniversary is on there.
Yeah, because wasn't the whole thing is that the Street Fighter Anniversary Collection has more than one Street Fighter 2? What's going on here?
Yeah, no. But we had the new Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, which introduced like 4 new characters. That's when you've got Cammy, T-Hawk, and Fei Long, who is essentially Bruce Lee. Every fighting game's got a Bruce Lee.
Can I think about Smash Bros?
Smash Brothers. Not like... No, maybe not every fighting game. But, like, Mortal Kombat's got Liu Kang, who's Bruce Lee, and Fei Long, who's Street Fighter's equivalent.
We'll just label for Smash Bros, it's Mii Brawler.
Probably, yeah. Then... They went through a load of iterations of the second one. Oh, DJ, I forgot to mention DJ.
Yeah.
It was the first Street Fighter character to not be designed by Capcom Japan. He was designed by Capcom USA.
Uh-huh.
And it shows. Okay, he's a bit dumb.
What? Why is he a bit dumb?
He's just a bit like, kind of, here's a stereotypical reggae black guy, and it's just, like, not that great.
Well, it could have been worse. They could have made it a competition. Kind of
no, they could have been in a competition area, yeah.
We'll have all kinds of fighters, and that way we'll have, like, Stickman.
Then Capcom spent a while doing, like, a prequel series that was Alpha.
Mm-hmm.
And I had Alpha 3, But that was on the PlayStation 1.
Mm-hmm. Obviously.
And it was a bit more complicated.
A-isms
and V-isms and Y-isms and different ways of doing super combos. And then they had the whole series, the third Street Fighter series, so it's like Street Fighter 3. It was First Strike, Second Impact, and Third Strike. I don't think any of them were actually released in the home consoles at the time. I think maybe the Dreamcast got a version of Third Strike.
I love how it's like it goes First Strike and Third Strike, but there's no Second Strike.
I'm kind of surmising that. I'd have to look it up, but I don't remember it being called Second Strike. I think it was Second Impact, which is fine for me.
Yeah, I like how they just go, oh, one, two, we'll go back to the...
Yeah, go back to the first thing. And then the Street Fighter 3 series was kind of a bit more technical.
Yeah.
And a bit more...
impossible to actually get into
if you're new. It had a high bar of entry for any new players. And so that's probably why the Street Fighter series... It was considered sort of... Well, the arcade's dying out. It was considered sort of like a lot of the sort of fighting game community were kind of dispersed all over the place. And so they didn't really...
Why were they dispersed?
Because, I mean, the arcade culture is still a thing in Japan, but in America, not so much, in Europe, not really.
Yeah, like,
so
I've barely seen any arcades.
Exactly. So they weren't really intent... I don't think they were intent on making, like, Third Strike or anything like that for a home console in the same way. Capcom pretty much convinced themselves that fighting games were over.
They weren't.
No, not really. Until 10 years later, when they kind of released 4, and then 4 was brilliant. I spent many hours playing 4, because once again, not really great at fighting games, but love playing them. And then that led on to things like 4 Ultra Street Fighter 4 with all the DLC included. And then
obviously here we are now with 5.
Street Fighter 5, yeah, which is going to have season 5 for different characters in the next couple
months. I thought that was quite fitting. We planned this podcast a bit before like the announcement of like the DLC fighters. Did we?
We planned to do it, before the other night, when they had the
presentation
stream with the new people.
Yeah.
Which includes Akira from Rival Schools, which was also another cool Capcom fighting game.
You really like Capcom fighting games?
I just think they're really good at it.
Yeah.
Capcom have had a long, long history. I like Darkstalkers as well, which is like another sort of Street Fighter-y spin-off, only with mythical monsters like werewolves and vampires and stuff like that in it, which is also really, really good. But yeah, that's getting off on a bit of a tangent about Darkstalkers.
Yeah.
You had facts written down there.
Well, it did popularise the entire fighting game genre, didn't it?
Yes.
So, it basically kind of, everyone followed suit, didn't they?
Yeah, I don't think there would be any kind of, like...
You wouldn't have Mortal Kombat if Street Fighter 2
didn't do so well. No, you wouldn't. And I think it's also the thing of, you know that there's a genre trend-setting game where any game that comes out afterwards...
Is called
Da-da-da Clone for a while until they invent their own.
Yeah, recently hasn't there been a couple of games that have really Breath of the Wild?
Yeah, and kind of done that Breath of the Wild thing. Yeah. But it's like where between sort of 1993 and maybe sort of early 2000s, first-person shooters were not called first-person shooters, they were called Doom clones. Because Doom had set that much of a precedent for the whole genre. And then one-on-one fighting games, for probably the same stretch of time, were not called...
They were called Street Fighter Clones.
You know, they were not called fighting games. They were called Street Fighter Clones. Because you had stuff like World Heroes and all that kind of stuff.
What was that?
It was a kind of weird sort of rip-off. I think actually Capcom actually tried to sue the makers of it. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of it that was very similar in World Heroes.
Yes.
There was like a dictator trying to take over the world with his little flat peaked cap on. And then, not his flat cap, that was getting news from Yorkshire. Come to take over world! Come, bow before the mighty bison, eh? I've been walking with it, and now I'm gonna psycho crush you in face. That was a weird one. But they had, World Heroes. There was loads of other. The Mega Drive had a really weird sort of Street Fighter kind of clone. That was Eternal Champions, which was only ever on the Mega Drive, the Mega CD, I think. And it was
Why did they release it on both?
Because they had a whole thing about, oh look, you can get the sort of rubbishy Mega Drive version, but oh look, you can get the CD quality sound from the Mega CD version, and everyone was like, ooh, let's buy a Mega CD.
I have to buy a Mega CD.
Yeah, it was pretty rubbish.
And that, kids, is how Sega screwed themselves over, and they were forced to make Sonic Forces.
Slightly. But, and then, what else? Eternal Champions, World Heroes.
There was a lot.
There was a load of ones that came out, because it was such a moneymaker for Capcom.
Yeah.
SNK had a fair bit of success, with, like, Fatal Fury and King of Fighters and things like that, which was pretty awesome. Because I think that was... SNK was started by former Capcom folk anyway.
Yeah, the irony.
Yeah, pretty much. So,
I mean, we wouldn't have fighting games like that today if we didn't have...
No, there would be no EVO.
There would be no... Mortal Kombat.
No, Mortal Kombat wouldn't really need to exist. Because they originally wanted to do a Street Fighter game with Jean-Claude Van Damme in it. Hence, it was all motion captured. Because they could just get Jean-Claude Van Damme in to sort of, like... wobble around in front of a camera for a couple of days and then scan
why that. Why do you say specifically wobble around a camera?
Because that's how they made. They didn't animate Mortal Kombat, they filmed the people. Yeah. So it's just like that's what they did. People in front
very
of
innovative for the time.
Yeah, it was very innovative. But then Jean-Claude Van Damme pulled out in the Fleet of Irony, did the Street Fighter movie. But they carried on with Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, the Street Fighter movie.
Which you can't ask Kylie Minogue about. But it was really good. I really like Street Fighter.
There's also I've got a couple more facts here.
Hit me with the facts, come on.
It's the best selling fighting game ever. Well,
I'd say so. As a series.
There's a slight kind of issue. It's tied with Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. Well, not tied, I think Super Smash Bros. Ultimate sold more than it, but Sakurai doesn't consider it a fighting game.
Yeah, it's not like that.
And you could argue that Street Fighter 2 has like a ton of versions, so if you just amalgamated them all together.
It's the sort of thing that if they could have done it at the time, they would have just done DLC. As they are now.
There was a couple like nice little rumours and stuff with Street Fighter 2, wasn't there? Like and little factoids like that. Like the Shenlong thing.
Yeah. when you discover that Shenlong isn't
a person,
it's a move. It was just really badly translated from its original Japanese.
Yeah.
But everyone assumed that, you know, when Ryu says you must defeat Shenlong to stand a chance, everyone thought Shenlong was a person.
And
there's a whole backstory that Go went on about. This was the cool thing about, like, you know, days before the internet. You could, like, games had certain kind of mythical things to them, and it's like kind of, you know, like, and you couldn't sort of just prove it or anything like that. I mean, in these days, if it, like, someone found something like that secret in a game, they would post it on YouTube, and within 10 minutes it would be all over the world and everyone would be reading about it, it would be confirmed. Whereas it was all about hearsay and kind of rumour and things like that when you were in the sort of 90s. In the 90s. Mm. One of the things was that, you can unlock Shenlong and you have to get to Bison and never block throughout the entire run in the single player game. And then you get to Bison and you have to beat him perfect in two rounds and never get hit on you. And then Shenlong will appear and challenge, blah, 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 blah.
And you have to not block and that, and you have to...
Then Shenlong will be available for you to choose. Turns out that...
It was just a mistranslation of the Dragon Punch, isn't
it? Yeah, pretty much. It was just the Dragon Punch. It was a mistranslation of that. Which is a bit of a disappointment when you look back at it, but...
But then again, isn't like the fighter in your games that's basically that.
It's Gouken, I think.
Yeah.
Who's Ryu and Ken's original trainer.
Yeah.
He's in Street Fighter 4 onwards. They kind of like retrospectively turned it into, this guy was Shenlong, in inverted commas, and make him his own character.
That's kind of a nice thing to like games.
Yeah.
He's less than like in Mortal Kombat or like.
Yeah, so that was another one. It was just he was a mistake in Mortal Kombat 2. It was literally just error macro. And it just played some weird coloured ninja, so they just turned it off.
There's another little fact though, and this is probably the last one I've got.
Okay.
And that's that is it M. Bison and Vega and Balrog had their names switched?
Yes. Yeah. Because in the Japanese version, M. Bison is the boxer.
Mm-hmm.
And the Japanese guys must have thought it was a jolly jape. But when it hit Capcom USA, they were a bit like, we can't name a disgraced boxer who's kicked out of the Boxing Federation for being uber violent. Mm-hmm. He's called M. Bison, which sounds a lot like Mike Tyson,
mm-hmm.
who's a real life boxer. But at that uber. Point, I think he'd bitten an ear off of Vander Holyfield during a match.
Oh no.
He'd bitten a chunk off of Vander Holyfield's ear during a boxing match.
That's
so
nice.
He was banned for it. No, not really. He was banned for about 8 months or something like that. So they decided that they couldn't
do that because that would involve a lawsuit.
That might have involved a slight lawsuit, yep. So they switched the names around. So the boxer in the Western version is Balrog, the Spanish masked cage fighter is called Vega.
Yeah.
And which sounds a bit better for him. And the dictator guy with the hat is M. Bison. Face the mighty Bison like lightning.
And isn't it in like game tournaments where they have to kind of just label them as...
Yeah, because you've got guys competing from Japan and America and Europe. Apparently they label them as a dictator, boxer and claw. Just so they can... Everyone knows who they're talking about. So there's no confusion. But obviously I think I remember rightly when Capcom released Japanese version of Street Fighter, it's still... M. Bison's the boxer. So they're not really worried about any lawsuits in Japan. I think Japan have a slightly more lax attitude to stuff like that.
Yeah.
Whereas in America it would be somewhat litigious. So they avoid it.
And somewhat lawsuity.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. But I think that's... Well, unless you've got anything else to say.
I've nothing else to add, but do you enjoy Street Fighter 2 when you played it?
I think I like it because of its simplicity. I mean, like most... I mean, it is pretty simple once you get down to it.
Yeah, the original one is. Everyone's got about three moves and the rest are pretty much the same.
You just got to just learn that and picking and who you like is pretty much.
There's no ultra combos to learn about.
There's no
parries, male
kills, and stuff like that. There's no complicated stuff. There's not even a special meter, which is... If it had a special meter, I'd consider it like the most basic fighting game ever, but that's not a bad thing.
No.
I don't think that just because the game's basic doesn't mean it's bad.
No.
It's quite fun. I enjoyed it. I mean, I'm not good at it.
Well, no.
But that's understandable. I've never played Street Fighter 2 in my life.
Properly before.
Yeah.
But so, you enjoyed it.
I think that's it.
Cool. That's no problem then. So that's another episode in the bag.
Yeah, episode 9 next, because that's how numbers work.
Exactly. So, we'll...
See you.
Play the wee tune.
Yeah.
We'll end up with a sound effect at the end of this.
Yeah. That's the normal tradition if I can find one.
We'll just go, like, you know, KO or something like that.
Yeah.
Grand.
See y'all later.
See y'all.
Stay fresh. We await your return, warrior.